season. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're going to let you know about that. We're going to do everything we can to get it here. We have a nice screen. Amen. How many would rather see it here than the theater? Amen. We need it in the theaters. I'm not saying you can go see it there too. Bring people with you. Amen. But we can get excited here too. Get some popcorn. All right. Have some fun. Glory to God. The family of God. Celebrate what Jesus did and what he's going to do. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, for those of you that missed my birthday party Friday night, again, thank you so much for coming out. Those of you that did come out, it was, let's put it this, everybody asked me, was it a surprise? I knew something was happening. You can't hide it from Pastor. That's my anointing. Okay? But I was excited because he did such a tremendous job. I wasn't expecting all of the fine details of it, and it was just awesome. Thank you so much and for the gifts. But we're going to play this video that they shared with us and some testimonies and stuff. So I wanted to see it again, so we're going to show it, okay? All right.
Hey, Pastor Ed, happy 70th birthday. I just want to say I am so thankful for the call of God in your life. I'm thankful for your obedience. Thank you, because part of what you guys have taught me and my family has saved my dad's life, made us live a lot better life, and we're just so grateful for what it is that you've done for us. Happy 70th birthday.
Wish you a very merry, happy 70th birthday. We really hope that you feel celebrated and loved today. We know that we love and appreciate you. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Bye.
Happy birthday, Pastor Ed.
Happy birthday, Pastor Ed.
Happy birthday. Just saying hi. We love you.
Yes, happy birthday, Pastor Ed. We love you, and we hope that you're having a great day.
Wow, and I can't believe 70 years old. Don't feel bad about it. 70 is the new 50, and you look great.
Yeah.
We love you. Can't wait to see you again. Should be up there this spring.
Come yes, love you. Miss you.
Pastor Ed, guess what? I just heard it is your 21st birthday, and I am so happy to hear that. He's 21, right? 21? You're 21. I know you're 21. You don't look a day older, but in all seriousness, Pastor Ed, I want to thank you so much. I'm so glad you are one of the shepherds over my life. I'm so thankful that you and your church introduced me to the Holy Spirit. I can proudly say I have a relationship with God because of your obedience to the call. I hope you really enjoy your birthday. Thank you, Pastor Ed. I love you so much. Happy birthday.
I don't remember being that long the other night. It was good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Someone wrote on my timeline about happy birthday, 70 years old, downhill from this point on. That was a relative. It's uphill, right? No matter how you look at it. If you go to heaven, it's uphill. Praise the Lord. Amen. But God's going to do some tremendous things. And again, it's not the age, but it's the anointing. Amen? Amen. That makes a difference. Glory to God. And when we begin all of this 40 years ago, did we think that we're going to be here this long? I don't know. I thought the rapture was going to come. Amen? We were talking rapture back in those days. Jesus, come quickly. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I was, when I came back here, I was kidding Pastor Judy because I knew nothing about Catholicism. She was out of the Catholic Church, and, you know, I had to meet her priest and so on and so forth. But my idea of revival was I'm going to deliver the nuns from their habits. Hallelujah. You know, Pentecostal boy coming back to the Catholic region. What do you think? And then they had me in a collar for the first few years. Anybody, Pastor Ed, went had a blast? How many of you remember that? When I went to the hospital, I found out I needed a collar because I had carte blanche when I had a collar on. I could go anywhere. I could go into surgery and, you know, because that was it. If you come back here and you just came in, I'm Pastor so-and-so. Who's that? What's a pastor? When you first came back here, people would come to church and call me Father. So it was a different environment altogether, I'll tell you what. But through the years, it's been blessed, and I'm so blessed to have you as a family. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Give yourselves a hand. You guys are wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Well, yeah, new beginnings. New beginnings. Increase. Year of increase, year of new beginnings. Hallelujah. How many of you ready for that? Say, Pastor, aren't you going to get off that subject? Yeah, we're going to get off that subject. We'll be hearing something else next week. Amen. But listen, we've got to get this into our spirit. Because we have been contained to thinking, well, it's going to be like last year and the year before and the year before. And we've kind of drilled that into you. You can't begin something new without leaving behind the old. Because it'll be like a ball and chain that you're dragging with you all through this year in what God has for you. Praise God. So today we're entitling this Increase in Destiny. Increase in Destiny. You have a destiny. You have a plan that God has for your life. And Ephesians 2:10, I know we've read this before, but in the Amplified Bible it says this, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus." And listen, when you're not the same old, same old, same old, stop confessing that about yourself. If you're born again, if you're in the kingdom of God, the Bible says you are Christ's own workmanship. He doesn't make junk. Come on. He it says, behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. New. Say new. You're a new person. Amen. Well, you might say, well, I've been saved, and, you know, I don't feel too new right now. His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. New every morning. Well, Pastor, I blew it yesterday. New every morning. Praise God. So you're his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. It says you're born anew that we may do those good works. Amen. We talked about revival. We talked about things that's going to be happening. Amen. Hallelujah. I Pastor, I don't qualify. Yeah, Jesus qualified you. Jesus qualified every one of us. Praise God. Plan beforehand for us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he has prearranged and made ready for us to live. Amen? So he's made ready for us to live the good life. He's put a path out for us to follow. We read a scripture last week that said the path of the just or the righteous is brighter and brighter every day. Amen? It doesn't get darker and darker. It's not bright sometimes, but it's how you look at things and you perceive things. If you allow the enemy to speak into your ear and your mind that things are just not going right or whatever, that's why we're talking about a little bit today about renewing our mind. We're talking about renewing our thinking, amen? Putting our thinking like God thinks about us, and it's so important for us to reach our destiny and increase in the God life, the God kind of life that Jesus has given us. He paid the full price. He's not going back to the cross. Everything that we will ever need was purchased 2,000 years ago on the cross. Hallelujah. His blood bought everything. Glory to God. So, we have a predestined path. But you know what? We have to make a choice. And the Bible is full of choices. That's why we see some people increasing, growing in the things of God, I talked to my friend the other day from Arizona that he was one of those hippies that got saved at the end of the Jesus Revolution. And I remember we like to go and talk about things like that because his life was transformed. And I say, if God did it once, he can do it again. But our youth in Havasu there, where I was associate pastor, and they were on fire, man. Whatever was happening there. Glory to God. We had a large youth group. And this young man came in, 2 years younger than me. He came in. We had an upper room. We had domes, geodesic domes. And in the smaller one, we had an upper room that we'd meet in on, I think it was Wednesday nights. And we'd have what we would call a hot chair. Maybe we need to get those again. But here this young man came in, long hair, hippie, sandals, you know, the whole works. And we got him in the hot chair. We didn't ask him, we just put him there. Bam! And then all the youth surrounded him. And we began to pray in the spirit, in unknown tongues. And he said the other day, I would have got up and ran out, but I was surrounded. I couldn't get up. But God consumed that young man. He got born again, filled with the Spirit that night. A year and a half later, he's teaching Wednesday night Bible study to the adults. Hallelujah! Praise God. See, God transforms lives. But we've got to make a choice. Every morning. Because we have a choice whether to choose our path or God's path. Amen? We think our ways are wise, but our ways sometimes lead down the road to destruction. Even though Jesus paid the price for us, he shed his blood, and we have everlasting life, But why, you know, what reason is there that I'm not living a victorious life? I'm not happy. You know, I'm just depressed all it. No, that should not be a definition of a born-again, spirit-filled child of God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I know it's no Old Testament, but it still hangs true today. God spoke to Israel, his beloved Israel, amen, his chosen people. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. All right? Therefore, choose. I can't choose for you as your pastor. I can bring you the word, but you have to make a choice. You can hear good messages from myself, my wife, Pastor Mike, Pastor Lori. We can preach our hearts out. We can say it, same thing over and over again. And sometimes you just get so used to hearing the same thing as it doesn't penetrate. But God says, choose. I've set before you, okay? In the New Testament, he would say this. I've sent my son to die on the cross for you and purchase everything that you will ever need to live the good life. Now you choose, are you going to operate in what I've done for you, or are you going to choose your own way? Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death? Hallelujah. Well, that's true. So it's not God that is withholding healing. It's not God that is withholding blessing from us. It's our choices that we make. It's our choices. So if you see one person blessed and another one not, it isn't God saying, I love him better than her. No. He loves all of us with the same love, agape. There's no distinguishing. I'm his favorite. You're his favorite. Come on. We're all his favorite. Hallelujah. So he wants us to choose the right way. Amen. The right way. Glory to God. Look at Psalms chapter 1, verse 6. It says, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly. Now we're talking about destiny. He watches. Are you godly today? Yeah. All right. He watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to what? Destruction. So the path of the godly leads to increase in every area of your life. The path of the wicked leads to lack, destruction, sickness, death. But we're not supposed to be in that kingdom over there, because when we were born again, the Bible says he's taken us out of the kingdom of darkness. And he's put us over into the kingdom of God's dear son. But we've got to stay in that kingdom. Come on now. Now again, let me say this, all right? You're born again. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You love God. You do everything. But then you just walk off the path. You kind of get rebellious like the prodigal son did. Was the prodigal son still part of the family? Yeah. But was he increasing? No. He ended up in the pig's pen smelling like hogs. But at least the Bible says he came to himself. Some of us need to come to ourself moment. Lord, I pray. There are a lot of people that I'm thinking of need to come to come to myself moment. What am I doing in this place that I'm in? I'm contained. I'm trapped. I don't have victory anymore. I'm depressed. I wake up in the morning and I have nothing to live for. Christians say that. You can understand the world living like that, but not the church. So I'm saying we've got to choose, because God watches over the path of the godly, and every one of us are godly. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, look at Psalms chapter 1. We're going to look at Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1 and different translations this morning. It's fun, amen? It says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with the mockers. See, joy are for those in God's path. Turn to the person next to you and say, joy, joy, joy. Come on, the joy. Joy is our inheritance. Amen. Number two, we delight in God's word and his way. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Glory to God. So they delight in God. This is his instruction from the psalmist David, who was a man after God's own heart, and he had ups and downs. But one thing about David, he always got back on the path. Amen? Didn't he pen the 23rd Psalm? For the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Glory to God. So even though, you know, David had his down times, he always knew where to go up. Amen? And that's the key right there. Glory to God. Amen. If we put God's word first in our lives, the word will cause us to increase in every area. Hallelujah. It's not an option. The word is what changes every one of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the word of God. And let me be blunt. What you consume is what you will produce. What you consume, if you're on social media all the time, if you're gaming all the time, you're going to not produce life, joy, peace, but you're going to invite the enemy. Amen. Come on. Remember, God told Israel, I set before you a blessing and cursing. You choose what you're going to do. Well, I made a choice 20 years ago, but you've got to make a choice almost every moment of your life. There's always choices. You walk out of your house, there's a choice. You turn on the TV, there's a choice. What are my eyes going to see? What am I going to hear? Come on, there's a choice that leads you to victory or a choice that leads you away from your fulfillment and your destiny. So choices, big thing, amen? Jesus said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of my mouth. See, the word of God is the only thing that will bring life, joy, peace, increase, healing, prosperity, whatever you need in your life. So let me say that again. What you consume is what you will produce. Powerful, huh? It's amazing that there are people that confess to be Christians, but they never read their Bible. All they hear is when they attend church, and sometimes it's not every week, but that's all they hear, just a little bit what we can give you from the pulpit, amen? Recently, Pastor Judy was talking to somebody, and a Christian that didn't have a Bible on their cell phone. Well, that's amazing nowadays. How many of you have YouVersion? Free app. You can read devotionals every day. You can get, full of life-building material, and plus the Word of God, which will change your life effortlessly. But you've got to make that choice. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So when you're commuting, I spoke to somebody years ago, that, and this is before, I think, even cell phones and stuff, but, you know, all the automobiles had cassette players and CD players and things like that, but this person would drive, an hour to work every day, but they were having family problems and issues in their life and so on and so forth. And I met him, and we talked, and I said, are you reading the Bible? This is a Christian. Are you getting to the Word of God? Because that's the only recommendation that I have to fix your life. Again, choice. And this person said, you know, I'd commute every day. I said, why don't you, you know, at that time we were making cassettes of our messages and stuff like that. We sell them. And I said, do you have it? Why don't you take that 45 minutes or an hour every day, commute back and forth? That's almost 2 hours. You could be listening to a teaching or a Bible on cassette or something that will get the Word of God in you. But apparently they didn't make that choice and out of church. See, it's a choice. Laziness, I'd rather do this than that. Just sometimes a rebellion. I don't want to be told what to do, so I'm going to do the opposite. Bless God. Well, that's witchcraft, the Bible says. Come on, rebellion is the sins of witchcraft. And it's an abomination. Oh, I'm getting picky now. Wow. Okay, I mean, I'm just telling you, if you're not having the success in your life, you've got to make a choice to run toward God, not from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, Psalms 1, verse 3. They are like trees planted along the river bank. These are the people that make the right choices. Bearing fruit each season. Every season of your life, you'll be bearing fruit. Their leaves will not wither, and they will prosper in whatever they do. Whatever they do. Whatever I do, I'll prosper. Because I'm obeying God. Now, this is an interesting translation, the Message Bible. I'm going to read this out of this. How well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along Dead End Road. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. Instead, you thrill to God's Word. You chew on Scriptures day and night. You're a tree planted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. You're not at all like the wicked, who are mere windblown dust, without defense in court, unfit company for innocent people. It says, God charts the road you take. The road they take is Skid Row. Wow, that's interesting. Amen? All right, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. Give me some scripture this morning. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precaution. Are you sensitive to danger? Are you, I mean, look at the New Testament. It warns us about the devil. The apostle. Think about that. Be aware, be alert, for the devil, your adversary, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Oh, we all know that. He sets traps for us to fall into. All he wants to do is just, Have you ever seen a movie on TV where they change the road signs? Come on. They used to do that in World War II. The Germans would dress up like American soldiers. And they would change the signs and lead them into an attack. Just twist the road signs. And we depend on road signs, right? To get us to certain places. All right? And so the devil will do that. He'll twist a road sign, making you think that the way you're taking is right, but the way that you've took is destruction. So that's why we have to be Spirit-led. Say Spirit-led. Spirit-led. Word-led, Spirit-led. We know the right decisions. You know, we have this alarm that goes off on the inside of our spirit when we are about to take the wrong way. But if you're stubborn, you won't do that. You want to do what you want to do, bless God. Come on now. How many of you have done that? You've done what you wanted to do, and you find out you got in trouble. And you said, man, I knew something was telling me on inside. I should not have done that. Shouldn't have made that decision. I shouldn't. Why didn't I listen, you know? But if you'll repent, God will get you back on the right track. Amen. And what the devil intended for evil, God will turn it around and make it good. Praise the Lord. Amen. It says the simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. Pays no attention to road signs, no attention to the alerts in their spirit man. No attention, just go, you know, whatever will be. Be vigilant. Be alert, for you do have an adversary. And he's always challenging you to make choices. And unfortunately, the world is luring. It's especially young people. You got to beware. The traps of the enemy. See, the devil even tempted Jesus that way when he took him in the wilderness. And he said, if you bow before me, I'll give you so-and-so. And Jesus had to come back with what? The word. It is written. The Bible says. The Bible says. Amen. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Is this okay today? I'm not getting on anybody, right? Okay. Praise God. Let me say this. Direction, not intention, determines your destiny. We all intend to do the right thing. But it's what we actually do that makes a difference. Amen? New Year's resolutions. I intend to read the Bible more. I intend to do something for God. I intend, but we never get there, okay? We intend to do good, but we'd come short of it. It says in Matthew chapter 7, it says, Message Bible, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your own spare time. But don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life to God is vigorous and requires total attention. Total focus on what God wants. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel like I'm preaching at you this morning. Okay. We can no longer be slaves to our feelings. Your feelings change every moment. And really, the choices that we make most of the time has to do with whatever mood that we're in. Well, I'm not going to go to church this morning because I don't feel like it. Why don't you feel like it? Huh? Remember I preached a sermon not long ago about David? He had to talk to himself. David had to talk himself into doing what was right. Sometimes we have to talk ourselves in doing what is right. Or we'll just be lazy. We'll go do whatever. We're so feely-touchy in this society. That's all the commercials on TV is all about is trying to get you to feel something. Come on, you know you watch a commercial and it's talking about food and immediately you want that thing. Well, if I don't go out and get it, I'm going to DoorDash it. Glory to God. Pastor, I gotta have that donut. Glory to God, or that whatever it is. Oh, I better. I'm picky now. Glory to God. We can't be a slave to our feelings because our feelings will always lead us the wrong way. If you think about it, the feelings is what led the prodigal son to make the stupid decisions that he made. He felt like he wanted more out of life. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but how do you get there? Give me my inheritance. I want it now. I want it now. And then when he got it, he didn't know what to do with it, so he just left home because he didn't want anybody to tell him how to spend his money. So he decided to go out on his own. So he partied and done what he wanted to do. And when the money ran out, what happened to him? I mean, the moment, now listen to me. The moment he got out from under the discipline of his father and his household, he was directed by his feelings and being led by the devil. And he entered in lower and lower into the pit, where he had to get to the lowest point before he came to himself. When you leave the foundation and the protection of a local body of believers, a church, pastor, that's why God's given the fivefold ministry gifts. You have to have a pastor. Well, I don't need a pastor. There's so many home groups now, self-made pastors. No. See, we are anointed to tell you from the pulpit, and sometimes we have to grab you to the side room and say, the word of God is for reproof also. How many of you know the Bible says that? Come on now, give the Lord a clap that he'll... He'll do everything to keep you on the right path. But if you start going by your feelings, and we've counseled people that totally were led by their feelings, and we've told them our opinions as pastors, what we felt like the word was speaking into their life, but because of their emotions were so strong, they, you know, I'm going to do it my way, bless God. There's nothing we can do. Pray for them. It's their choice. We start talking about choices. They made a choice to go against the counsel of God and therefore ended up falling away. Many of them returned. Many of them woke up. Praise God. Thank God for prodigal sons and daughters coming to themselves. Hallelujah. Because daddy's always there to welcome. Amen. Don't be slave to your feelings. If you will make your spiritual development the most important thing in your life, you will succeed and you will grow in every area of your life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And listen, your spiritual life touches your finances, your health, your marriage, your family. Everything. Every area. Now listen, we have a marriage seminar coming up. Those of you that are married, don't think you have it all together. Nowadays, more than ever, the enemy is attacking families. And if you are a husband, you need to make sure that you as a couple are out here. Well, pastor, it costs money. How much is your marriage worth? How much is your destiny worth? Come on now. Well, I'm okay. No, you're not, liar. The Bible says, beware if you think you stand, lest you fall. Come on, I'm serious. Don't ever think you don't need instruction, that you have it all together, that you can write the book. No, you can't. The people that we used to bring in people, we used to go to Newport and different ones, and but, you know, for the price and everything, I know it's fun getting away and staying in the hotel room and having our wedding, you know, marriage seminars and conferences. And but we decided to do this for the last couple of years because Jimmy Evans and his wife and the team that they have to bring the EXO conference, you can't, you know, as good as Pastor Mike and I and Pastor Judy and Lori are good at teaching, they are anointed. They are what you call specialists. Amen. I'm like a practitioner, okay? I'm not a specialist in some of these areas. I can teach on the book of Revelation, but I'm not a specialist in it. You know what I'm talking about? I can talk about marriage and give you some good points, but I'm not special. These people that they're bringing in are specialists. Now, if you're not married, you know, I'm sorry I'm spending this time, but I want to really encourage husbands and wives to come out to this because, you know, we're trying to bring it to you at a least possible cost to cover. Amen. And it's going to be anointed. It's going to be anointed. So XL, sign up today, okay? That's my commercial time. Hallelujah. But choice, again, a choice. You got to make a choice to take off work, to do whatever, you know, Pastor. I might get fired if I ask for, get fired. What's more important, that measly job that you have when you can believe God for a better one or your marriage? I'm going to stop right there this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand this morning. We let too many carnal things interrupt our spiritual growth. Amen. I'm glad that there's still businesses that shut down on Sundays. Chick-fil-A. They're sure busy during the week, though, I'll tell you. They make up for it. Hallelujah. And we have a place in Brockton that started closing down, too, on Sundays. And they used to have a lot of business on Sundays. But what's more important? God? Yeah, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, we shouldn't have had to push out our Jesus encounter because of Super Bowl next week. But to some people, Super Bowl is more important than God. So we want a big crowd. So we've moved it up to the 19th, okay? Hallelujah. So you're going to feel guilty if you stay home next Sunday night and watch the Super Bowl. You need to be at church. I love you guys. Amen. Patriots are not playing, so who cares? Now, the Patriots are playing, that's another. We'd take church off, and we would pray and fast, and glory to God. Amen. Oh, now I'm going to give an altar call like this. Bow your heads. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to make that decision. It's a choice, like we talked about. And that's the first choice that a human being comes to that's the most important choice in their life, is their eternal destiny. Is a man appointed once to die and after that the judgment. So we've got to make a choice before we leave this earth. And the choice is by receiving Jesus or not receiving Jesus. Jesus, God's own Son, went to the cross to die in your place for your sins. And he wants us to believe on him. He wants us to call upon his name. He wants us to recognize that he went to the cross just for you, to suffer, to die, so that you could have everlasting life and live forever in his presence. So today I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer, and we're all going to pray this prayer. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let's pray this prayer together, okay? Make it from your heart, your sincerity. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love me, that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Now, dear Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.